Hello, welcome to Books in the Biz, a podcast that looks at both the financial and operational sides of success. Please welcome our hosts, Dan Paulson and Richard Veltre. Dan is the CEO of Envision Development International, and he works with leaders to increase sales and profits through great cultures with solid operations. Rich is CEO of the Veltre Group and a financial strategist working with companies to manage their money more effectively. Now on to the podcast.
Thank you, Alice. Welcome all back to Books and the Biz. Rich, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right today. A little wet, awesome. But, you know, it's all good.
And it's wet out there. Sun is shining out here. See, you're in the wrong part of the country because it's a nice sunny day. But hey, today we get to talk about free money. Extra money, or however you want to look at it. You came across this story. I'm just going to share it here. The SBA posted this, looks like September 18th. And it sounds like they're going to waive loan fees for small manufacturers. What was your take on this, or what did you read into it?
Well, I think that it's kind of consistent with what the government is basically willing to do for small businesses, because we know 98% of all businesses in the United States are small businesses. And the SBA is a place where a lot of smaller businesses or smaller acquirers go to get government assistance to actually be able to acquire small businesses.
More funding for equipment or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, it could be manufacturing. It's, in certain cases, it could be for real estate, but usually it's real estate in support of an actual operation. But for most of the part, it's to buy a business that is actually functioning, to expand its ability to, you know, to essentially grow it. The SBA itself is a very big resource for searchers, you know, people who are actually going out and saying, I just want to buy a business. That's what I want to do for my career. And people come out of school and they could actually qualify sometimes with the SBA to acquire a business and instantly be a business owner. So what was interesting about the article was I had not heard this until I saw the article, that they are for the next 1 year, starting next week, October 1st, they're waiving up to the upfront fees up to $950,000 on 7A and 504 loans, which are manufacturing related loans.
So what is the 704 or 504 and the 7A? What? So you said they're manufacturing loans. What do they classify as?
I think they're just it's an SBA classification for what that loan is for. But again, it could be for equipment. It could be for, you know, working capital. But it is, in my eyes, it's for the acquisition of those businesses. So what's interesting is the SBA, one of the negatives of the SBA was always the upfront fee was 1-2% of the loan value. So you had to have that as a closing cost of acquiring the loan. And to take that away is a significant number, if you ask me, because your closing costs would be less, more money in your pocket to go ahead and be a success. And I think it's unheard of to hear 0%. I mean, I haven't heard 0% in I don't know how long, not on anything, not on credit cards, no credit card offers, nothing. Like, it's just not usually out there where you would see 0% offering. I think that the significance is on both sides of both the acquirer and the acquiree. I think acquirees were getting worried because interest rates have gone up so much and have been high over the last few years that I think acquirees were worried that there wasn't going to be someone who's going to buy their business. And I think there was a struggle there where people were actually you know, I think we may have even said it, you know, there's eventually a point where there's not going to be an acquirer for your business if you're in that, you know, if you've been planning all along for your business sale to be your retirement, you know, it could be a worry at this point because who's going to qualify at a higher interest rate to buy your business? And now it looks like that's become at least enough that somebody's seen it and said, let's make a policy that's going to help some of these people get deals done. Because as we've talked about, you know, we're in that, what they're calling what the silver tsunami, right? We're talking about this great transfer of wealth, but there has to be financing for it because somewhere along the line, someone needs to get cash. So it can't just be, oh, here you go. I'll just go and sit in a corner for the rest of my life. You know, now that I retired, you know, there has to be a transfer of dollars so that people can actually do this. And the financing just wasn't really there. I mean, I think this really comes down to being consistent with everything that we've seen in the last 6 months plus. Federal government's very, very, you know, bullish on tariffs and getting other people to pay for their fair share and, you know, bringing things back home to be manufactured here. So not really a surprise for me to see a, you know, drop in fees to try to help people move along with the manufacturing side of this, because that's what they've been working towards this entire time. You know, they passed the big tax bill on July 4th, and a lot of the key, there's a lot of people that are going to be mad at me for even bringing it up. But, you know, when you and the emotion of the law that came about, vast majority of what was being pushed has to do with supporting smaller businesses, taking, bringing back the bonus depreciation, allowing a full write-off of certain manufacturing facilities built over the next, I think, 6 years, and the depreciation being available, you know, writing it off in the first year when normally commercial
facilities are
39-year property. You're taking 39 years of depreciation and pushing it to year one.
Right.
That's an incentive and a half towards manufacturing. Is it enough? I don't know. We'll have to see, right?
Right.
You got to be able to build a building or, you know, have the capacity. And then that doesn't really get you started on building anything or making anything. But it is still a big government push to assist in getting things built here.
Right.
So again, take away all of the, you know, he did this and he did that and who did this and who did that and who could, how could they allow that? Everything is geared towards a very common goal, which is manufacturing in the United States as opposed to overseas and then shipping it in. So,
here's kind of some of my thoughts as I see this. I'll bring up the article again. So those who are watching can kind of skim through it if they want. You know, to me, I agree with you. This is a good thing. I think this is going to help in a number of ways. And we don't have a lot of information yet. So I think you and I can kind of speculate as to how this might all work in. Because here's what I'm seeing. You know, is $950,000 a good chunk of money? By all means, yes, it is. And what if your business is worth $5 million? Because that's typically the cap that you're going to get for an SBA loan. Well, you know, you're really talking about one-fifth of that. Is this going to be something that for that first $950,000, you'll pay 0%, and then the remaining $4,050,000, you're going to have to pay some sort of percent on that 1% to 2%? I don't think either one of us know that, but I mean, what's your speculation on that? Is this something that, like some tax things, you know, once you hit that threshold, then it cuts off and then you pay the amount over it? Or is this a completely far and away separate thing from any of that?
I would not call it separate. My speculation would be exactly yours, that you're getting a 0% rate on the first $950,000, which means that if you're just using the loan to go out and get equipment, and let's say you need $950,000 worth of equipment, you're not going to pay an upfront loan.
Right.
If if you're going to build a facility and add 950,000 worth of equipment, then maybe you say, well, I got the 0%, you know, upfront fee on the equipment, but I still had to pay it on the rest of the business or on the, you know, facility.
Right.
Okay. It's still at $950,000. It's $9,500 credit. You know, it's still a $9,500 advantage. To me, I'm looking at it going, that's huge to me.
Yeah, it's
when you know
price of a used car.
Yeah, I mean it's a decent sized number, which is why I'm kind of focused on it and saying, you know, I'm happy with it because again, it really does show that this is a consistent push towards this is what we want to see happen. Again, we could talk politics all day and say, is this enough? Does it really help? You know, for the timing of what I think they're trying to accomplish, I'm not sure.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, it's very funny when you see people on TV talking about, well, we're going to push to have everything manufactured here in the United States. Okay. There's still regulation around when I manufacture something, there's quality control, depending on what it is. You know, there could be regulatory issues of somebody checking on it. You know, are we talking about something that's FDA regulated? Are we talking about something that's, you know, got a different government agency looking over it? You know, and do we have something where manufacturers, you probably know better than I do.
Right.
That, you know, they're going to come in, the facility's done, and then they're going to run things and they're not going to sell them. They're going to test them. You know, how long does that take? So. Right. Again, if this is just one other piece that kind of helps things move along in that time frame, along with the tax bill that came through, you know, you start to see the consistency that, quite frankly, I haven't seen in a long time. It's yep. always been, oh, let's throw a whole bunch of money at electric cars. Okay.
And how has that done for us so far?
How is that going right now? I mean, yeah. Some builders have figured it out. GM seems to have figured some of it out, and overseas they've kind of figured it out. Tesla, I don't know what they've figured out, if anything. You know, I've often said though that Tesla, if you ask me, Tesla is more than a car company. To me, it's a battery company.
Yes.
You know, and if the battery technology is there, you know, I can't bash Tesla, although I'm not a Tesla fan from a car standpoint. It's right. not, you know, but anyway, I digress as usual. You know, but everything has kind of become a little bit more, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's just become more focused, you know, that, oh, we're just going to throw a couple dollars at you so you can buy an electric car and we give you all this incentive. And the critics, the people who still kind of are hedging their bet between oil and gas and electric, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, we don't have the infrastructure for everyone in the country to have an electric car.
Right.
You know, and then I sit around the table with my father who, you know, grew up an oil and gas guy, you know, he's looking at it going, you know, but I can't get from his house in Florida, he can't get to see me on an electric car.
Right.
You know, it's too far. So they don't have.
Well, they'll make the argument that it just means you get to see more of the scenery because when you stop to fill up, it's going to now take you half a day to do so. but anyway, not an electric car discussion. Let's get back on the
sorry
on the other stuff. Though I'd love to talk about it because I'm a petrol head. So you're right in line with where my thoughts are at. So we got this $950,000. I see another potential here. Smaller, really small businesses, I won't call them micro businesses, but businesses that kind of fall under that $1 million cap, this could be a potential for. So like small machine shops, that type of stuff could be a really good opportunity. Or if you're in a startup where is kind of, I would call it more of a gradual rollout. So you're not trying to buy, you know, six pieces of equipment in a building on the first go around. You maybe are renting a small shop space. You need one key piece of equipment or two key pieces of equipment to machine or build what you got. This could be a great way to kind of kickstart what you're trying to do. Yeah. You know, as we started talking about, I think a lot of businesses, especially more mature businesses, are easily going to fall over this $950,000 cap. But let's say you're a manufacturer who has an idea or has a unique specialty. And like I said, you really only need a couple pieces of equipment, and you just need a decent space to hold that equipment in, and maybe some, you know, upfront for materials and whatnot. This could really get you going if you've got something good going on. So I see a lot of upside potential with this. It's supposed to, as you pointed out, it's supposed to roll out next week on Monday as of this recording. When do you think we're going to get more detailed information on it? Are we going to have to go to the banks for that? Do you think there's going to be another press release that's going to give the finer points? Because really, it's just kind of saying, well, here's, you know, if you can borrow up to $950,000, you're not going to have to pay any fees on that. There's always caveats, right? And we just got to understand what those caveats might be. Is it again a cap? Are there some restrictions on what you can spend that money on? I don't think we've seen that yet.
I have not seen that yet, but I'm sure that two options here. I think there's probably going to be an SOP release, something that's going to say this is what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. I have not heard that yet, but usually my lender friends are usually the ones that go out and post that stuff and say, hey, we got this information and here's the details. And let's not forget, usually you can't just go to the SBA and borrow the money. You have to go to a lender first, and the lender has the connection with the SBA. So I think your point about, you know, talk to your lender or talk to someone that you know that does SBA lending, they probably have more than I do, and they'd probably be the greatest resource if you're in the market and kind of in a hurry. Like, this is something that, you know, makes your life, you know, much more rounded. Great. Give them a call. You know, to add to that, I think the other potential I see here is the really, really small business, right? The guy who is under $950,000, under $500,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he may not have had even anybody taking a look at him. He may not be interested. But the guy down the street who's potentially the same size, maybe even a little bigger, that now finds out that the guy down the street wants to retire and has the opportunity to do a small SBA loan to buy his next guy, call it a roll-up strategy, right? Where he now has his shop and he buys another shop, and then together they're a much more attractive shop. But the guy who wants to retire now has the ability to do so. The guy who may have wanted to acquire him and didn't have an opportunity to do so, or didn't have the facility to do so, you know, can now make an offer with a zero upfront, you know, with a zero upfront, and hopefully with, you know, a better interest rate after interest rates dropped recently, mm-hmm. and the tax bill. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could start to look at this being an opportunity for someone who didn't have one before.
Right.
On both sides, on the buy and the sell side.
Yep. You know, typically, where does that fee come out of? Do you have to physically pay that fee in, or is that, would that be, for example, $950,000 less 2% of that?
It would come out of your closing costs at the time that you get the loan. So what's going to wind up happening in the old days, you would get the $950,000 loan, and they would take $9,500 off of it.
Right. That's kind of what I figured.
So the amount that you would walk away with at the end of the day would be less. So, you know, really it's just decreasing your working capital ability.
Right. You know, yeah, no, I think that is where it's good. And who knows, maybe if this is successful, maybe they'll up it to $2 million or something like that. That would be even better, because I think there's a lot more people kind of falling in that $2 to $5 million space, that if you could free up that working capital, that will incite some things to happen. That's for sure.
That's enormous, if you ask me.
Yeah. So that's kind of our speculation on it. As with a lot of things government related, we only know what they've told us so far, which is pretty limited, but still a pretty exciting opportunity, especially since we've been talking a lot about succession lately and talking a lot about manufacturing. Could be huge upside potential in some ways. You know, $9,500, like I said, price of a used car, but if you look at it just from a loan standpoint, it's probably, what, a month and a half's worth of loan payments if you weren't counting on that money? Because you're still, you know, if you borrow $950,000, they're billing you at $950,000, and you had to give $10,000 back to borrow that money. So you've now basically covered some of those initial costs, which if it bought you 45 days or 60 days, that would be a huge advantage too. Anything else you see in the works on the SBA side, or was this really the biggest thing?
This was the biggest one. I haven't seen anything else. What I had seen up to that point was a lot of restriction, which was the opposite of what I'm seeing here. So the most recent changes to SBA lending was maybe the June timeframe. And it was a similar government crackdown on eligible borrowers. Essentially, it used to be where the SBA, as long as you were buying a business in the U.S., if you were a foreign person, you had opportunity to still potentially use the SBA, but that has been squashed.
Yep.
So along with other political agenda items, you know, all things United States and not so much a global economy.
Right. And we'll argue if that's good or bad at a later date. But
yeah, another
right
day.
Now,
another
if you were American trying to start a business, you probably got a little bit more opportunity than you might have had.
They were definitely cracking down, number one, on eligibility, number two, on structure, because it used to be that you could, trying to remember what the big one was. They don't like earnouts, and the seller note was another piece that they were kind of looking at, as, you know, seller notes had to be restricted. So in other words, the SBA had to get their money back first.
Right.
You know, so there was a little bit more shrinking of the availability of what you could do with the seller note. So it certainly had, I don't want to call it necessarily negative. I think it just was really politically in line with what the agenda was. And so there were definitely restrictions put in place in excess of what was already there.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to the SBA and you're asking the federal government to essentially back your loan. And this is why certain banks love SBA loans, because they're not on the hook for it. The SBA is. So, you know, now you're basically saying U.S. government cover me, and the U.S. government saying, okay, but, you know, here, you can only do it if it's this way. You know, if you're a U.S. citizen, yes, we'll help you. If you are up to a certain dollar amount, yes, we'll help you. If you're trying to give someone else their money back before you give the SBA back, no, I don't think we're going to help you. So these are the types of things that we're getting shrunken. They were getting much more streamlined.
All right, cool. Well, I think we probably need to track down a banker somewhere that specializes in SBA loans, especially after this this kicks into effect, and we'll probably get some more details on that. So that, look for that in upcoming episode or episodes. And Rich, always great to talk about new and exciting things that might help business owners, especially those thinking about selling. We'll talk more next week. How's that sound?
Sounds fabulous.
All right. Bob, take it away.
Want to boost your sales and profits, but need the talent to help you grow? XCXO is a one-of-a-kind platform to find skilled fractional executives to help develop your team into a high-performance powerhouse. Fractional leadership is a great choice when you consider the average executive-level candidate can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in salaries, benefits, and incentives. XCXO finds you the executive and utilizes their talents to build your team's experience, all for a fraction of the cost of a full-time C-suite leader. Contact XCXO today to fill the gaps in your leadership team. Visit xcxo.net to learn more.